I'm going to give you your website address in case you ever want to check it out for yourself. If you don't want to, don't want to just take what I say or just listen to my quotes. Maybe I'm misrepresenting her. Maybe she has some other things to say that would balance that out and prove that I'm just misrepresenting her. I don't know. But I don't think so. I've read most of her stuff. But in case you want to go check it out, that's fine. The name of her, it's on my notes here. The name of her site is Ecclesia for Him. The address is www.ecclesiaforhim.net. You can download notes and check it out. Now, like I said before, she has a lot of good things to say in her articles. A lot of good truth. This is what makes it dangerous. She's not dangerous because she's out there preaching all kinds of false doctrine. She's dangerous because she has a lot of truth. And in the center of that truth is this idea about sin that turns the whole gospel upside down. So what you have to decide now is if this woman is really walking by the true Spirit of God, but she simply needs to have some major doctrinal adjustments, or if she's actually being led by a false Christ who is giving her a lot of truth mixed in with all the error in order to make sure she stays deceived and following this false Christ. Well, that you got to look at when you find out people are preaching error. Are they people who have to get a doctrine straight now? Are they really Christians? Following the Spirit of God, but they read some scripture with their mind, or they're taught some scripture in church, and therefore that scripture, that area of their theology is all screwed up. Is that what you're dealing with? Or are you dealing with somebody who's following a false Christ who's revealing the Word of God to them in a counterfeit, deceiving way? And actually, that's the real point I want to get to tonight, this difference. We got to know the difference between what kind of people we're dealing with. Are you dealing with a genuine brother or sister who's just a little deceived or got some point wrong? Or you deal with somebody who's under another spirit who's following a false Jesus? It's not always evident. When it comes to doctrine and truth, it's not evident. I mean, when it comes to crazy experiences and the wacko stuff you see going to churches, that's evident. This kind of stuff is not as evident. I mean, there's about three or four websites that connect to her site. One of them is a post-tribulation site. Guys have very good words on going through tribulation. They don't believe in rapture. They have a lot of good word. And those guys don't have any idea what this woman's preaching. They recommend their stuff. So she's fooling some pretty astute people out there. Now, I was talking to a sister yesterday on the phone, and she made a comment that I thought was very perceptive. She said that those of us who have spiritual discernment, who can see what's happening right now, if we're not careful, we tend to get a little bit hypersensitive when we listen to others speak, when we read what others write. We get to the point where we're almost like constantly looking for any little bit of error, in order to discount what's being said or written, label that person a false prophet or, deceiver or whatever. And I know that's true because over the years, I've had to fight that very thing. I've had to fight against that thing. That's a tendency to us who have discernment, and we who know the devil's out there trying to trick us through other people, It's very easy to get in that thing. So I just want to say a little something about that. About this point about when you're trying to gauge deception, what kind of deception you deal with. Is the person a Christian? Is it a mixture? Is it totally false? What? See, there's a difference between someone having an incomplete understanding of the Scripture and one who is purposely distorting it. There's a difference between, for example, someone who's young in the Lord, getting some passage wrong or some idea wrong, and false teachers who are perverting the Scripture to promote false doctrine. In addition, you got a situation where people are coming out of the religious system. A lot of people are coming out of the system. And sometimes they're coming out with a lot of baggage, things they're taught in the system, and they need some time to sort out the truth from the error. So not everybody we disagree with doctrinally is a false prophet. That's my point. There are situations where you may disagree with somebody. I may disagree with somebody. Some of you probably disagree with some of the things I teach. I don't necessarily assume you're false just because you don't agree with me. There's a right way, and there are multiple wrong ways to approach the situation where people hold views that are different from ours. One way is to instantly separate from everyone who doesn't agree with everything you think. In which case, you're going to quickly find yourself totally alone. Okay? Most of us are not going to find anyone who agrees with us in every area right off the bat. That kind of unity only comes after years of walking with someone in the Spirit. After years of hashing things out, of sitting down and talking and walking with them in the Spirit over and over again until finally there does come a point when you can walk with people in unity of doctrine. But that doesn't happen overnight. That takes years of, thrashing things out, hashing things out, and that kind of thing. Another way is to just accept everyone. They say they're Christian, just accept them, regardless of whether or not they agree with you. And yourself walking under the influence of demon spirits, and quite possibly end up in deception. Another way to deal with this situation is to make yourself a little sort of list of doctrines that you consider to be fundamental and non-negotiable points of the Christian faith, which you will not compromise on one bit. And as long as people don't pervert or deny those fundamental, you know, doctrines or issues, you know, you can have fellowship with them. But, you know, as soon as they start messing with them or denying them, that's it. You separate from them. That's another way to deal with it. Another way to deal with people who disagree with you, which I believe is the best way, is to have the kind of discernment that can tell whether or not a person is following the Spirit of God or they're following a mixture of the Spirit of God and some other spirit. See, if they're basically following the Spirit of God, then even if they have problems, even if they have a wrong doctrine here or there, even if they have an incomplete understanding of some issue, it does not make them a false prophet. It does not make them spiritually dangerous. You know, we Christians are often wrong. Hello? We often make mistakes. We all have problems. We all are growing up in Christ. We all have to mature in our understanding of the Scripture and of God and of His ways. Okay? So we have to leave room for mistakes and errors and disagreements with the brethren. Okay? That gives us a chance to extend love and mercy, the love and mercy of God to other people. But when you have a person who is following a mixture of the Spirit of God and another spirit, or even worse, if they're following fully another spirit, just calling itself the Spirit of God, then that's a whole different story. I don't care what kind of doctrine that person has, whether it's right or wrong. I don't care what kind of spiritual understanding they have, whether it's correct or not. They are dangerous because they are feeding off a wrong source, off a wrong spirit. So there's a difference between those kinds of people. So you don't just go around judging people by doctrine, by whether they got their doctrine straight, by whether or not they have any problems, you know, by whether they got their act together or not. It's the source. Are they actually following the Spirit of God? And if they are, then you got to cut some slack. You're going to have problems. They're not going to agree with anything. But if they're not following the Spirit of God, if they're following another spirit, that's a different ballgame. You don't have to cut them any slack. You don't have to cut them any slack. If you do, you're going to get in trouble. And this is where we have to be wise as serpents. This is where we have to have sharp, sharp discernment. If you treat a dangerous person like someone who just needs to grow a little bit spiritually, you're playing with fire. You are playing with dangerous, dangerous fire. But if you treat a person who just needs to grow spiritually a little bit as a dangerous person, as a false prophet, as someone who's deceived, you know, wicked and all that, then you're going to cause terrible damage to that person. So, you know what I was saying the other week, the same thing. And the source of where people are living. Because you just can't judge externally by whether their doctrine's all straight, whether they got their act together. Some people who are serving the Lord, who are walking, who are, you know, not grown up yet, they have all kinds of problems and their doctrines ain't right. If you treat them like somebody's a false prophet, you're going to be held accountable for that, for mistreating your brother. But what I see more of is the people who are too willing to give people, to take it at their word. Somebody comes and says, I'm a Christian. I was baptized. I go to church. And we're too willing to read the Bible and say, well, yes, if you said it, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt until I find something out differently. Now, I don't walk like that. I'm sorry. I don't give anybody the benefit of the doubt. If you say you're Christian, prove it. Prove it to me. Let's talk. Let's have some fellowship, and let me discern where you're at. And that's the way you've got to walk with people to not get deceived by people in these days. Because I'm telling you, this woman here that I'm talking about, she's got a lot of truth. And each generation, each new wave of deception is going to get closer to the truth and harder to detect. All right? So like I said the other week, get the source of things down. It's the source. Where is a person drawing from? Not so much as the truth or error. Not that they have their doctrine all straight. Not that they agree with me perfectly. Not that they don't have any problems. Where are they drawing from? Are they really walking in the Spirit of God, or they got a mixture going? Or they got another counterfeit Christ even walking with them? That's where we got to get them proficient at discerning these days. And if you ask for it, I guarantee you God will give it. If you're willing to pay the price and you ask for that kind of discernment, God will give it to everybody who asks for it. Okay. I just looked up here and the fish head says, how do you get to the source? It has spiritual discernment, brother. It is spiritual revelation. It must come from the Spirit of God. It cannot come from any other source. You can't go to the Bible and check out their doctrine. You can't see whether are they walking in love or they have an attitude. It must be the spiritual discernment. Because people who know the doctrine and can say all the right words are walking in another spirit. A lot of them. I'm just telling y'all, it's possible. Just ask God for that kind of discernment and He'll give it to you. If you'll just ask for it and wait for it and move cautiously. Don't just accept everybody as Christians who says they're Christian. God doesn't expect you to do that. It's not wrong to just sit back and say, hey, brother, let's talk a little bit. Let's have a little bit of fellowship, see where you're at, and ask God to give you discernment. There's nothing wrong with that. God's not going to be mad at you for doing that. He wants us to stay free. And he knows that there are gazillions of people running around naming the name of Christ, spouting all kinds of Christian lingo, Christian doctrine, Christian revelation, that are of another spirit. And those are the people he's sending around to get to the people who are not under that spirit yet. So if you don't walk cautiously, God's not going to be mad at that, believe me. He's mad if we misjudge people in our flesh. If we just misjudge people, we go around in our flesh and say, well, that guy said one thing wrong, he must be false. That guy says one false doctrine, I don't believe anything he says. That's the kind of stuff God doesn't want. You know, we've got to have discernment and walk more mature towards each other and towards the brethren. Okay, that's all I'm saying. And if you ask for the Lord, he'll give it to you if you're willing to pay the price, because there is a price to pay to get that. You know, when you ask God to give you that kind of discernment, when you get it, you got to do something about it. For instance, if somebody comes up and says, oh, I'm a Christian brother, how you doing? Let's go pray. Let's go talk about the Bible. Let's go talk about God. And you say, Lord, I want to know. Give me discernment of this brother. Is this brother for real? And he tells you you're not, then the pressure's on you. The ball's in your court. You've got to take a stand. You've got to do something. You've got to separate. You've got to stop from being involved with that brother. And that's the price you've got to pay if you want that gift, if you want that discernment. People don't get that kind of discernment all the time because they're not willing to pay the price. They're not willing to pay the price. But if you're willing to pay the price, if you know what you're asking for, if you have an idea what you're up against, God will give it to you. He's going to give it to anybody who asks for it. It's just that simple. But people don't know they have to ask for it, see? Because all these doctrines tell you that this isn't the kind of situation you're going to run into. Christians can't have demons. Christians can't be deceived. Blah, blah, blah. You have 1,000 doctrines out there that'll tell you that you don't have to walk this way because what you're facing is not real. You'll never face what you actually have to face. They'll tell you that, no, that's not true. This woman here, they'll say either she's not a Christian at all or she's just a sister in Christ who needs her doctrine straight. They'll never say this woman is following a false Christ who's given her divine revelations that are of a counterfeit nature. They won't accept that. They'll say she's either a Christian who needs taught or she's a false Christian. And I'm saying there's lots of people that have all the lingo right, that are walking and loving a real Jesus, but it's not the real Jesus. And you've got to have discernment when you come across those people. And God wants us to take 5 minutes or 10 minutes or a couple of days and discern what we're facing here. And discern who we're talking to. Discern what kind of person it is we're getting involved with. He doesn't mind that. He wants that. And lots of times you'll find out as a Christian, and then fine. If they have problems, help them. If they got wrong doctrine, straighten it out for them. Help them straighten out all kinds of stuff. Yeah, but it doesn't do no good to get involved with a person as a spirit. You know, he's listening to another spirit, he's getting all kinds of crazy stuff, or even true stuff. You're not going to help that person by being deceived by them, by thinking they're following the spirit of Christ when they're following another spirit. You got to be wise as serpents, all right? That's what I'm trying to say. So I'm not going to talk about this lady anymore. I gave you her name. I gave you a website. Go check it out. Go check out the truth she has. I've told you all the error. Not all the errors. There's about 3 or 4 more things she's teaching that are wrong, but the big ones, these are actually anti-gospel things. They turn the gospel up on its head. They're a false gospel. Go look at the truth he has and see how this stuff is embedded in all that truth. You get a good idea of what we're up against, all right? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, I guess that's it. That was my main burden. You know, we got to walk carefully with people. You know, you don't want to hurt people right now. You don't want to just be picking every little wrong thing somebody says, calling a false prophet, saying they're deceived, and all that kind of stuff. But yet you got to be wise and not be tricked by people who are deceived, you know, by that spirit. And there are, in a very subtle, dangerous deception, okay? It's a fine line we got to walk in, and you need discernment to know the source in order to walk that line. That's it. You need just this hour. That's the only way to do it. I'm sorry. That's all there is. You know, there's no way around it. There's no other shortcut. That's what you got to do, okay? So, anybody have anything you'd like to share about that? Thanks, I need that advice. I have been feeling that I'm judging too much. Hey, don't you worry about it, sister. God doesn't want us to judge in the flesh, but we must judge right. Okay. Well, does anybody have any questions? Did I make my point there tonight? God has discernment we need, people. He's not left us high and dry. We got to seek it, know what we're looking for, know what we're asking for, and be willing to pay the price to walk in it. Okay? That's all required. And God will do the rest. He will keep us. He will keep us. But the stakes are getting higher and higher. You know? The stakes are getting high. Commander says, I had a question I typed, but it's high up in the message. I'm sorry. Let me see if I can find it. Commander, I'm sorry. I don't see it. If you want to type it again, go ahead. Fisher says, I had a question for you restoring your soul book, but I forgot what it was. Oh, okay. Well, if you ever remember, you can ask me. Okay. No problem, Commander. I'll wait. No problem. Sharon wants to talk. Go ahead, Sharon. You got the mic, sister.
Dan, you were talking about that Stella teaches that there was no need for sin anymore, that Jesus paid the price at the cross for sin. And I remember when I got saved, I heard Andrew Womack teaching from 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Can you comment on that scripture?
Okay, hang on a second. What was it again? I'm sorry, I was trying to do things at once. You said 2 Corinthians what? Write it in there again.
That was 2 Corinthians 5, 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It sounds a little bit like what Stella was saying, that the sin had been, that Jesus paid for the sin at the cross. I mean, I don't believe this, but that's, you know, he teaches that. I heard him the other night on one of the, I think it was the Inspirational Channel, teaching that God wasn't holding man's sins against them. So this makes people think, you know, that they don't have to repent.
Okay, hang on a second now. Let me answer, Conover's question first, okay, Sharon? You both gave me the same time. I'm getting confused here. Now, I was just saying, Conover, that the deception is going to get worse than it is now. That's all. It'll never get so bad the people of the Lord won't be able to discern it. It'll never get that bad. But it'll get so bad that most of the people of the Lord won't be able to discern it, okay? It's going to get pretty bad. That's all I'm trying to say. There'll always be a people, there'll always be a remnant who are close enough to the Lord, who are willing to pay the price, and who have the necessary discernment to keep on top of it. But it's going to get so majority of people are going to be deceived at one level or another. That's what I'm saying, okay? Does that make it clear? Okay, now, to Sharon's question. To wit, the God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he hath committed us unto the word of reconciliation. Well, I don't have an answer right off the bat for that, Sharon, sorry to say. But you got to put that in the light of the rest of the scriptures, that's all I can say, which say that you must ask for forgiveness. So that's all. I have to look at that and see what I can come up with. All right. Aiden Schaffer. So the difference in the remnant and the majority is our closest. I believe so. The difference between the remnant and the majority is how close you walk with the Lord, how much fruit you're bearing, how much discernment you have, okay, and how much life you're coming forth in. Wait a minute. Now we got Fishhead. Go ahead, Fishhead.
I think the question answers itself back to the 2 Corinthians question. If you look at verse 18, it says, "And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself." I think it's just, like you said, it's by faith. You have to believe it by faith. He was reconciling the world. I'm sorry. God is reconciling the world to himself. He's done that in Christ Jesus. But the thing is, you have to believe it by faith. He did reconcile the world to himself. And I think the thing is that one has to believe it by faith. It's not that our sins are not going to be imputed on us. If we did not put our faith in Jesus Christ, then yes, our sins would be imputed on us. But since we have, by grace, put our faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins will not be imputed upon us. So I think the answer is you have to believe it by faith.
Okay. Thanks, Fishhead. Mono says, both Paul and John addressed it each. Say, God forbid we should go on sinning. In fact, some Jews accuse Paul of greasy grace. He addresses them and makes his statement above. Lisa says, therefore having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filth of the flesh, perfect and holy. Huh? I don't know. Are you familiar with the Believer.com website? No. Somebody asked me a question here. I'm sorry. Too many people were talking at one time here. Somebody says, come on, says, let Mama talk. You want to come in here and say what you have to say? My Mama says she has a little answer for that question.
I don't think I do. I don't know that I have the answer.
No? Well, whatever. Go ahead, Ted, whatever you think.
I think when you rightly divide that scripture with the other scriptures that Daniel read about that our past sins are reconciled, past sins are not imputed to us. But that doesn't mean our present or our future sins won't be if we don't walk in obedience to God or ask forgiveness. So I don't think, to me, I don't misunderstand. I don't think there's much in that scripture that I don't understand, except that it's just verifying the fact that our sins, our trespasses are not imputed against us, our past ones. When we come to Jesus Christ and accept him as our Savior, our past sins are not imputed against us any longer. They're in God's sea of forgetfulness. But that doesn't mean our present or future sins don't have to be taken care of if we aren't being obedient to God.
Is that okay?
That's fine. Okay, we back on? I'm sorry, I think I lost the mic here for a minute. Dropped my mic. All right, we got that straightened out. Everybody satisfied with that? I'm sorry, but everybody was asking me questions at the same time. I cannot multitask. Okay, I have a total of four brain cells, okay? So I can just barely walk and chew gum at the same time. I think we got all this straightened out. Now does anybody else have anything you want to say? Rub your head and pat your belly. Right. Amen, brother. Well, did somebody ask me to do a song? Did you still want to hear whatever song somebody asked me? Did anyone still hear that? Or was you going to forget that for tonight? What song was it? I forget. Oh, The Steps of a Righteous Man. Okay. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. They are ordered of God. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of God. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him, God will preserve him, God will sustain him. In the time of trouble, God will lift him up. So rejoice, your steps are ordered of God. That is the chord there. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. They are ordered of God. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him. God will preserve him. God will sustain him. In the time of trouble, God will lift him up. So rejoice, your steps are ordered of God. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. They are ordered of God. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of God. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him, God will preserve him, God will sustain him. In the time of trouble, God will lift him up. So rejoice, your steps are ordered of God. I think I missed a chord there. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of God. They are God. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man, they are ordered of God. In the time of trouble, God will uphold him, God will preserve him, God will sustain him. In the time of trouble, God will lift him up. So rejoice, your steps are ordered of God. Something like that. Okay. All right. Anybody else have anything? Last call. Amen. We praise your name, Lord. Amen, Rich. God is good all the time. All the time. Okay, well, thanks for coming, guys. I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and a river don't rise.